Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight on At Home with the Victoria Show, where we try very hard to focus on positive news and also bring you very interesting interviews from the entertainment community as well. Well, guess who is on the show tonight? I am like a kid in a candy store, so very excited. The one and only Joan Van Ark is with us tonight. Can you believe it? I've got to thank my very good friend, Steve Silverman, for making this happen tonight. So we are thrilled and excited that Joan is here with us tonight on the show. Joan, of course, many of you know her. She is a Emmy and Tony nominated young lady. She has been on Dallas. You have seen her on Knots Landing. And also she has done roles on Nip and Tuck. You have also seen her on the stage, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that momentarily. But Joan is just an absolute superstar. I mean, when we found out that Joan Van Ark was going to be on the show, of course, all of us were just absolutely giddy as all out. So we are going to be as well taking some of your questions as well. So if you've got any questions that you want to ask Joan, probably towards the bottom of the show, we're going to go ahead and take some of your questions at 718-664-9364. Again, 718-664-9364. And I do think that Joan is with us on the line. So if she is there, we hope that she can come on with us and go ahead and start the conversation on At Home with Victoria. And when I mentioned to many of you that Joan was going to be on, of course, everybody just completely wanted to talk about Knots Landing in Dallas. And I think the reason for that is that, you know, those shows are very much something that you would just sort of consider America. So when you think of those shows is just sort of like America and also Apple Pie. So we're just always excited, you know, to also have women of her caliber. And I was talking to a very good friend of mine when she knew that Joan was going to be coming on the show tonight. And she actually said to me that that there are not a lot of actresses that are like Joan today in America. I mean, Hollywood, as most of you know, are just completely different than what Hollywood is sort of the past. So it's going to be interesting also to talk to Joan and kind of hear her perspective on things in terms of sort of what young Hollywood is today versus what it was, excuse me, back in the day when she was on the air and still is on the air and a very, very big superstar. So I think, Michael Kay, do we have Joan on with us? Oh, she's not here yet. I think they're having a technical problem. So as soon as we can get that up and running, I promise you Joan is going to be here with us tonight. In fact, her producer actually called in a few minutes ago to tell us that she was on her way and actually running just a tad bit late. But I want you guys to go ahead and get some of your questions ready for Joan. And I'm also looking inside the chat room. And what's funny is that Marilyn Bennett, who is our wonderful producer tonight of the chat room, says that she never, ever missed an episode of Dallas. And Marilyn, I know that that is you and also many, many more people that we have listening to At Home with Victoria tonight. I also noticed that we have a lot of guests that are inside the chat room as well. So I want to thank all of the guests that we have inside the chat room that are visiting the show for the first time. At Home with Victoria, it's basically a weekly show. We do news as well as entertainment as well. So we try to do a little bit of every single thing. So as soon as Michael gives me the okay, which I think he just did, the one and only Joan Van Ark is on with us. Joan, how are you?
Oh, my God, that's a complicated answer to a very simple question. You never ask Joan Van Ark how she is. Never.
And that's because you're just a wonderful, complicated person, and we love that about you.
Well, I'm a Gemini, so that kind of that kind of puts it in the right zip code, or starts it anyway. I try to do too many things, simultaneously, all at once. Get the run in, get the whole day's work done, blah, 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 blah. I'm thrilled and excited to be here with you. And you, are you originating, or you're from Washington, D.C.?
Yes. I was originally born and raised in Washington, D.C., and lived a couple of blocks from the U.S. Capitol. So that used to be my playground before all the barriers and stuff went up there.
I know, but it's my playground because the two most amazing, well, I've had some Broadway experience too, but two most amazing theatrical workouts and experiences have been there at the Shakespeare Theater with the unbelievable, extraordinary Michael Kahn. I did two different, and one of them even at the Kennedy Center. So, and it's the one of the proudest things on my resume was the Kennedy Center tribute to Tennessee Williams, where we did 5 one-act Tennessee Williams plays. It was 2005. It was called 5 by 10, and the whole summer they were celebrating Tennessee Williams, and Sally Field did Glass Menagerie, Patricia Clarkson did Streetcar. We opened the festival with the 5 one-acts, and I have the unbelievable distinction, I think, for myself as an actress to have created a world premiere character of Tennessee Williams.
Wow, that is absolutely wonderful. And one thing that I love about the Kennedy Center, one of my jobs, Joan, when I was growing up in D.C., was a tour guide. So I was on the tour buses and would give people the tours about D.C. and so on and so forth. But there were so many people when I was a tour guide who never knew that the Kennedy Center existed. So once I would sort of tell them to go over there and see it, because they only, of course, wanted to see the monument, the White House, and the Capitol. And I remember a lot of them would go over there and see it. So later on, when they would see me out and about giving other tours, they would come back over to me and say, Victoria, that we never, ever knew that the Kennedy Center existed. It is the most beautiful place in the world. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Are you kidding? Unbelievable. And when you mentioned the monuments, as my reward, because my passion other than acting and theater, et cetera, and TV and film, is jogging, running, whatever. I've done about 13, 14 marathons, and I would jog on the day off. Mondays were our day off in theater, and I would jog from one monument. I did the whole circle of the monument.
Wow.
I know. That was my run. And
impressive.
Because I've done the 26-mile thing. I may even do this next L.A. marathon, which is late in March. But I would go from monument to monument, make a sort of a circle run, and the bonus was, as if it was cherry blossom time, then it was just really, it was like a head trip.
Yes.
It was amazing experience and some of my best running. But I am so proud and thrilled to have worked in D.C. and, been at the Kennedy Center.
And, D.C. is one of those places, I think, that most people, when you think about D.C., of course, you think of the government, you think of the president, the U.S. Capitol. But one thing that a lot of people don't know about D.C., and I think they're also expanding on that, there's a tremendous group of people in D.C. that are very, very good in terms of pushing the arts, plays and those things. So a lot of people don't know that, Joan, about D.C.
Oh, no, incredible hotbed of creative arts and theater and improv and all kinds of lots of theater. I actually it was my second equity job when I was like 19 years old. I was at the Washington Arena stage.
Okay.
Was there and did amazing plays with Ed Sheeran, who's married to Jane Alexander. He directed some of them, and they had Ned Beatty was there. I mean, it was just an amazing list of actors who've all gone, Robert Prosky, who all went on to do, amazing things. So D.C. is a hotbed of theater and creative arts. I think it's an amazing space.
Well, that makes me very, very happy. So you have just such given me a treat by talking about D.C. I wasn't expecting that to be a part of the conversation, and that's one thing that I love about the show and it being live. You just never know where it's going to go.
Well, when I saw that you're in Washington, D.C., I had to say, whoa, I don't mean to ignore Michael. He's pretty, too.
No.
His is pretty, too. But
No, you're not. And, in fact, speaking of Michael, Michael is our producer as well as entertainment co-host, and he is just back from the red carpet in New York as he went to go cover the Indy Soap Awards. So Michael is actually going to be on with us in a few minutes, Joan. But so I get to spend a little time with you by myself as a journalist, and then Michael gets to come in and kind of really talk all about the entertainment aspect of it. So first of all, Joan, I have never, since I've been doing this show, have ever had this many guests at one time inside my chat room, because as the show goes on, we have an interactive chat room. So there, of course, everyone is here because they want to listen to you and what you have to say tonight. So just thank you to the at least 100 people that are joining us as guests inside the chat room. I do appreciate you being here on the show tonight, and also being here to listen to what Joan Van Ark has to say and to support her. So with that said, Joan, if you don't mind, I always like to take questions because I think it's so important when people come to visit my show that they also sort of get a say. And this is a young lady who is listening tonight from New York City, and she says, yes, Joan is right. D.C. is definitely a hotbed when it comes to theater as well as the acting community. And she says that you look absolutely fabulous. So is your secret to staying beautiful jogging?
Well, I've got to tell you, jogging, running, being outside in the air is my heart and soul. I have this mantra that it's work or work out. But there have been days lately that I do both. I do the working and I work out. And I have to tell you, I honestly feel that being physical as you age is the most important connector to make your brains, your bones, your heart, your soul complete and healthy in the truest, best sense. And I can't say enough about the benefits of being out and working out and doing miles. I'm embarrassed to say the kind of mileage I do, but then I read that Will Ferrell does the same thing. But I do between 10 and 15 miles a day. Will Ferrell does 15. All right, Will Ferrell does 15 miles a day. There are certain personalities and certain, what I want to say, physiques, but it's not about that. It's, you can be any size, shape, whatever. It's
right.
All about getting outside and working out and breaking a sweat.
Right. And, you know, Joan, something, too, when you said that, I was thinking about as a television news anchor, and I've had the chance to cover so many of these stories. But I'm very happy to see that many of the shows on television right now is really sort of touting the benefits of running, and not only running, just exercising, period, because you very well know, as I'm sure all of our listeners, you know, America, we're in sort of this epidemic right now of trying to be a little bit more healthier so that
mm-hmm.
our bodies and minds and spirit can be healthy and sort of get the weight off.
Mm-hmm.
So something simple as just, like you said, taking a walk outside and breathing the fresh air and running, you know, that doesn't cost you anything to do that.
It doesn't. Obviously. And let me tell you something. I've done movies in Japan and or in Europe, and I've worked all over the globe. And I want to tell you, for the cost of a pair of running shoes, you can experience the city or the locale or the place that you're in better than any other. I mean, I remember running around the Emperor's Palace in Japan, in Tokyo, and the guys used to go, that's a noise they make, and I didn't know what they were doing, and I would say hi. That noise to them is when they see a blonde, and I would go hi, and hi means yes in Japanese. So they thought, wow, this blonde is easy. She just runs around the she runs around the Emperor's Palace saying yes, yes, yes to all
yes,
the guys
yes.
who are going whist, whist, whistle.
Great story.
I know. So I made a lot of friends in Tokyo.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably made a lot of friends, and they did not want you to go. That is an absolute wonderful story.
Yeah, true. And I go, yes, 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 with a big smile on my face and my blonde ponytail twirling in the wind.
Well, that is absolutely great. And, again, we have the pleasure of having Joan Van Ark here on At Home with Victoria tonight. So another question that I have, because, I've been a television journalist and news anchor for, like, 17 years. And
well,
I've
that's like
my
husband. My husband's former NBC News out here in Los Angeles.
Oh, is he really?
Yes, yes. What now?
I did not know that. Very cool.
Yes, yes. So I relate to that, and I think that's fantastic that you are in broadcasting, because that's an amazing field. Keeps us on our toes.
And you know, with me, I like to do it. And in this show that I do, I don't get paid or make any money. I do it just because I love interviewing people, and it gives me the ability to interview people for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour without having any type of commercial interruption, so you can really have a conversation and say what you want to say besides, you know, always having to be rushed. So I was very blessed to be able to do this show. But with that, I was saying it's always important for me that our listeners and our guests get to ask some of the questions. Mm-hmm. So the second question that I have, this is a young lady who is listening from Tampa, Florida, and she says that she loved you when you were on Nip and Tuck, and that you added a tremendous amount of class and also funniness to that show. And she wants to know, what was your experience like on Nip and Tuck?
Well, I want to tell you, I loved it because I, first of all, love the show. I love, love, love Ryan Murphy. Brad Falchuk, who is Ryan Murphy's partner, was the director of the first one I did. I did two of them, which I was so, you know, thrilled to have repeat business on the show and have Ryan ask Donna and Joan back. The other bonus, by the way, when I say Donna, it was with Donna Mills, who was my nemesis on Knott's Landing for all those years, and we played members of the Beverly Hills Cougar Club, and I had a blast with Ryan, with all of the cast, particularly on the first one, and it was fun, it was grueling, it was tough the way film work is out here, but the reward was just to be on such a cutting edge, no pun intended, a cutting edge, wonderful show. And FX, by the way, is a network, if that's the correct word, that I love, because I've done Son of the Beach, which was a Howard Stern show on there. I have an upcoming Archer that is also on FX. I think it's on March 24th, which is a voiceover cartoon, but it's a very hot show, and rightly so, because it's edgy, and that's what I love about FX. I want to get on FX with a new series playing a biker grandma. I think
that's... Oh, my goodness, and I could so... Joan, I could so see you doing that.
Let me tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? If anybody can make that happen and work that baby, I have no doubt.
I would rock that. I would rock a biker grandma, let me tell you.
Yes. Completely. And it appears that everyone in the chat room seems to think that you would rock that as well.
Tell them I love them. And now the fan mail to FX, and let's get Joan down on the air.
Yes. And I tell you what, At Home with Victoria will be the spearhead to make that happen. So some of the comments inside the chat room is, Joan, you rock. We love you. We know you would rock that for sure. Well, listen, my sidekick, entertainment co-host Michael Kay, has been dying to actually get here and join the conversation. So let's go ahead and bring Michael Kay into the conversation. Michael, are you with us on the air with the lovely Joan Van Ark?
I am here. Good evening. Good evening, listeners. Good evening, Joan Van Ark, my
good
love.
Good evening,
oh, my
Michael.
Goodness.
Michael in Delaware.
You have no idea. You have no idea how giggly I am inside right now. You truly don't.
Oh, well, I hope that. Is that a good thing?
That's a very good thing. Giggles are good.
Okay, then giggles are good. Then I'm thrilled.
Michael,
it's my pleasure to be here.
I know you've been sitting on pins and needles waiting to ask your question, so you go ahead.
Yeah, she always makes me wait 15 minutes, Joan. It's like punishment, you know what I mean?
Well,
but
I know,
but
the winning horse, you know, waiting in the starting area there.
Now you're ready to charge
and probably
there
lead the charge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to go a little bit back to your theater work and stuff. You've worked with fantastic people.
You
began your career at the Minneapolis Guthrie Theater in Molière's The Miser,
exactly,
opposite Hugh Cronin. How was that to work with? That's a great first person to work with.
Well, you have no idea. The way it started was I was at the Yale School of Drama, which is I went there out of high school, followed Julie Harris, who was sort of my mentor and my mother, as a matter of fact, on Knott's Landing. But I had auditioned and was chosen from Yale to go. So I was like 19 years old. I got my equity card at the Guthrie Theater. And that year, the first year actually of the Guthrie Theater, it was Sir Tyrone Guthrie himself, Douglas Campbell, and of course leading the company was Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin. I mean, what kind of a college, unbelievable theater education is it to be standing beside those two people? And George Grizzard was also there doing Hamlet. And I was understudying Marianne, which is the ingenue in The Miser. And Ellen Geer, God bless her, the actress who was playing Marianne, got pregnant almost immediately as we started rehearsals and pulled from the show. And in I went with Zoe Caldwell as the matchmaker and playing opposite Hume Cronyn in The Miser at like 19 years old. I mean, what a baptism by glorious fire. I mean, it was just, I can't believe how blessed and you know, lucky and all of those things that it was. Every time I see Ellen Geer, I thank her again.
Yeah.
And another thing,
when you asked
me about Hume, though, he invited me in. This was prior to my knowing that I was going to be doing Marianne. He would invite me in the dressing room to watch him transform from Hume Cronyn. I don't know that I've ever said this in an interview, but I watched him do, because all theater people do their own makeup, and I would watch him walk in as Hume Cronyn and transform himself with this amazing wig and makeup with the gray and the marks and this, that, and the other, and turn into the miser. And that, to me, was also a delicious, amazing lesson about the magic of theater and how you can go from literally from A to Z.
Absolutely, and especially the innocence back in that era when Hume Cronyn invites a 19-year-old pretty blonde into his dressing room to say, "You want to see me transform?"
I know. I did think of that later. I sort of kind of wondered about that myself, but I still was hypnotized. Either way you want to look at it, I was hypnotized.
Absolutely. Jessica Tandy in Death of a Salesman, she, again, must have been a fantastic woman to work with. I just adore her work.
She was the most elegant, what's the word, grounded also, four-letter words. I learned them and went back to visit my family in Colorado, coming to the dinner table with four-letter words that no one, including myself, had never really heard or utilized, but that company was full of them, and I loved them for all their salty language, Zoe Caldwell and all of them, but even the divine, amazing Jessica Tandy was known to let a few of the F-bombs fly.
Ooh.
I know, but in the most elegant, you know, she'd be talking Hume, I can't say it, but you know, Hume, just buzz off, you know, but substitute another word for buzz. And so,
gotcha.
Let's
Let me just say real quick, I just wanted to get her website out there. I know we do have her information
inside
the chat room, but I'm, Joan, looking at the website, and Michael, as we speak right now, so I like the section that says what Joan is up to now, and she mentioned the Cutting Edge series on FX called Archer. So, guys, you know, make sure you follow her, and her website is www.joanvanark.com, which is pretty easy to remember her name, joanvanark.com. Go ahead, Michael Kay.
Yeah, Barefoot in the Park, going back to your theater past, the Barefoot in the Park, directed by Mike Nichols, a personal stalker friend of mine kind of a thing. I enjoy his work, too. But being directed by Mike Nichols, what age were you at that point? Sort of like 19, 20, the same type of
about
season?
About 20, 21, something like that. Yeah, 20 or 21, yes. I always joke that I did the national tour with Myrna Loy playing my mother, and Dick Benjamin was my husband, which Mike Nichols directed, that I left an ingenue and came back a character woman. Because when you go on tour, it's really, it's a tough, tough haul, I'll tell you. But I couldn't have been, it's really amazingly tough because you're doing, you know, all the different cities across the country. You're doing 8 shows a week. It really separates the men from the boys. But I couldn't have been in better company. And, again, it was more like at 21 or whatever. Yeah, it was 21. It was more like my college education, and what a place to learn.
Absolutely. Joan, you feel like taking a call? I've got a call on the line, if you wouldn't
Absolutely.
Mind. Does that sound good to you?
Absolutely.
Great. Hello, caller. You're live on Home with Victoria, and I believe this is calling Mr. Jay Qualls from Nashville, Tennessee. Jay, you're online with Joan
Tennessee.
Van Ark.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, Joan. How are you, Michael?
Hi, honey. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're all
Great.
Fine,
Fantastic.
I think. How are y'all?
How are you? Oh, we're doing great. We're doing great here in Nashville. How are you doing?
Well, you know, Nashville, my character on Knott's Landing, I'm not quite making it, you know, exactly right, the actor, but my character had an incredible storyline in Nashville where she ran away when Donna Mills, that nasty trollop.
She took
the twins, and I ran away across the country to Nashville and became a waitress there in a cafe in Nashville. But, I mean, that's Valene's roots there.
I know. Well, you know, you have to be a wide-mouth talker if you're from Nashville.
What does that mean, wide-mouth talker? You mean like the way we're talking?
Yeah, talk wide. You open your mouth wide, and you just talk, and that way you'll fit right in.
Oh, well, then I fit in perfectly.
Valene absolutely would fit in perfect in Nashville. I'm so glad to get to talk to you.
Same to you.
So, Jay, do you have a question or anything you want to ask her?
I've been a huge fan for a long time, and heard you were going to be on the show. I was just really excited to hear about that and just thought I would call in and just see what you were up to and catch up and just see what was going on with you.
Well, actually, the latest thing I've done is really the main reason that I'm on today, other than to be in the presence of both Victoria and Michael, is to talk about...
Which are both wonderful, aren't they?
They are amazing. Both are amazing. So far, so good here. But I've done a webisode. I did kind of a cameo in a webisode that's on the Internet called Pretty. And that was one of the latest things I've ever done that I have done, besides the Archer that is on FX. And it was great fun and a great departure. And I think we're going to be talking about that in a little bit.
Yes, we are. And Joan, I just wanted to let you know who this wonderful fan and man is who is calling in. Jay was on the TLC's series on The Next Great Baker. So he was one of the folks that made it all the way down to the end with Dana Herbert, who won the series. So Jay is in the business of making these fabulous cakes, and he was on that reality show. So he heard that you were going to be on and was just excited and wanted to call in and say hi. So that's who Jay is.
Oh, well, God, I love that, because I've started to watch as therapy, because I don't really eat anything but broccoli and dry roasted peanuts and stupid healthy stuff like that. But it's great fun for me to watch, like, the Food Channel and the cooking thing and all of that stuff, to watch all those fun, you know, those fun people doing all those amazing things with their kitchen utensils and things that I have no idea what they are.
It's so much fun. I'm very fortunate to get to do the same, you know, that sort of thing with my craft. And
yes, it's very creative. I see it.
It's
creative.
Well,
it's so
tough
what did you
too.
What do you
Some
do?
Do
you make
you do.
What do you make? Pastries, cupcakes? What do you make?
I am known for my wedding cakes. I'm a wedding cake designer. I've been featured in Martha Stewart weddings, Southern Living weddings.
Oh my God.
And now I've done TLC, and it's just been a great ride. And I used to be in corporate healthcare, being a pre-op and post-op patient educator for bariatric surgery or surgical weight loss, believe it or not.
Right.
And now I sell cake and sugar.
Well, that's talk about A to Z. That's a departure, but a great one. I mean, I think that's fantastic. Do you have pictures or a website or something?
Yeah, you could go and you can visit my website, mapleswedding.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at jayquals, JAYQUALLS, and keep up with me. Are you on Twitter?
No, I don't do that. I don't know why. No, it just seems like, to me, I don't know what, I'm like, there was an actor that I love, and he says he doesn't take the phone on the set, doesn't Twitter, he doesn't, you know, it's like, to me, I guess I'm more private than that. And it's just like...
Well, you know, I understand that completely. The privacy thing has been a little bit, you know, weird for me, too, because obviously when you put yourself out there...
Well, I mean, it's like, who cares?
There's
important things, and then there's just trivia, nothing, and it just seems like you're more special if there's a little mystery and magic and... Not mm-hmm. everything, like every time you go to number one or number two to somebody.
Right. and you know, honestly, the way I use mine is I use it for good, like for good things, like to announce something, a good cause, or if I want to, like, I know not everybody gives a crap what I do most of the time. You know, I don't use it for that. I use it for, like, if I have a new idea that I want to share with my market or my fans, like, I would say, look at this, this is beautiful.
Use wisely for business.
You have
it is huge. It is huge and a plus. But I don't know. I'm somehow, I don't know, maybe it's traditional.
Well,
and less contemporary, but I know when you do it right, there's a singer called LaRue, and I am dying. I love LaRue, and I'm dying to grab some of her stuff because that spark and that independence that she has and that incredible individuality, I want to take some of her stuff and put it on my website and use it, you know. But so if you use wisely, use all these new tools, I think it's very good. But just, it's not my style. I'd rather be a little more private and reveal it, at the right time.
Yeah, I get it. I really do get that. And I try to be very, like, personally, I don't hardly ever put anything personal on there, kids or anything like that, because if you're not very careful. But from a business standpoint, or J. Qualls, Inc., which is my LLC, my company that I'm trying to develop, market products, and get, you know, students I teach, and they love to hear about a new idea or a new concept or a new case concept.
Well, then I think that's totally, that's 100% right.
Yeah,
that's
I was going to say, Jay, I think also the way that, you know, you use it, certainly for marketing and all that good stuff, is really good. But, Joan, I completely get the point about privacy and also sort
well,
of
Joan's
this
a,
idea.
Joan's a huge superstar, and I'm not.
Cameron Diaz was on Jimmy Kimmel a couple nights ago or something, and she said the same. She kind of expressed the same thing. It's like, no, she doesn't Twitter, I don't think. But she just says, no, she doesn't go there. It's just, it's a personality. It's like my running. Not everybody, you know, wants to work out every single day.
Oh,
but I
hate working out.
Well, I know. See, it's a personality thing, and you know, to each his own. And I celebrate the fact that you are using it smartly and in a very contemporary way. And I say, God, you know, go for it.
Well,
and
you know,
and
I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. At first, I was not about it at all and didn't see how it would help me or anything. But honestly, it's a great way for me to reach fans. And not, I only have to reach out when I want to reach out. I don't have to reach back. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they can. It's very controlled, and that's what I like about Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Facebook, that's a different thing, but anyway, it's a great tool if you use it right, I think. And you have to be very cautious, I think, when you put yourself in the public. But I honestly am very lucky. I've had a great time with all this.
Well, I say then go for it. You know, you go.
Yeah, I say the same thing. Hey, Jay, listen, we're going to move the conversation along a little bit. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Joan, it's
thank
so
you,
great
Jay.
To talk to
Jay,
you. Hopefully
thank
I've
you,
had
thank
the
you.
Call someday.
I'll look for your cupcakes and your wedding cakes and everything, that, and your sweet baby cakes, whatever you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Jay, thank you so much. And again, for those of you who are just joining us, the one and only Joan Van Ark is with us tonight on At Home with Victoria. She's very kind to be here with us as a guest on the show tonight. We're talking a little bit about every single thing, but I do want to mention again, we were talking about Twitter, but Joan does have a website, and I've been looking at the website as the show has been going on. And the great thing, Joan, that I do like about your website, it answers every single question from charities that you're involved in, exactly what you're doing right now. So any question that you have, just go to joanvanark.com, and it's a really good website, and I like that. So speaking of charities, I'm like a really, really, really big on charities. That was something that my grandmother and parents instilled in me when I was a little kid. I remember doing different charities and helping out people. So talk about your charity work and just why that's important to you to give back.
Well, it always is, and I think that with celebrity comes, you know, not limited power, but various levels of power, and you are able to shine a light on something or an issue because people look to you, not for leadership necessarily, but just for your thoughts and to see what you are passionate about. In my case, one of the things that is really close to my heart is the Barbara Davis Juvenile Diabetes Center in Denver. They do every other year a carousel ball, which is held now out here in Los Angeles, and it is literally like the Oscar night because it's the who's who of all the celebrities in L.A., because Barbara Davis is able to bring those kind of people in. They honored Halle Berry this year, and J-Lo performed, and Quincy Jones was honored, and they just, every year, it's a spectacular, not every year, every other year, it's a spectacular event. My nephew, Derek Kirkendall, who lives in Denver, attends the Barbara Davis Juvenile Diabetes Center, and so I had written to her and said, I'm here for you if there's anything I can do, and I've been involved in it maybe about 15 or 20 years, and that's very close to my heart. There's also Farm Animal Sanctuary, which is treating responsibly, treating farm animals so it isn't factory farming and all the kind of abusive, awful things with cattle, with chickens, with farm animals, because I did, though I was born in New York City, I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and there's farmland for days there, and I'm an animal advocate, of course, and Farm Animal Sanctuary is an amazing place that takes abused farm animals. They have a place in Glen Watkins, New York, and one out here on the West Coast, and they rehabilitate abused farm animals, and they are, you know, make people aware of the issues and the factory farming and the things that are not right. I don't know what else is on there because I haven't looked at my own website.
Definitely those two were on there. But again, I'm a big charity person, and I know that a lot of you guys that are superstars and at the level that you are, that many of you have wonderful charities. And I always just like to mention that because I know charity work is very important to all of you, you know, to give back. And I think Michael probably wants to switch up the conversation and talk a little bit about Pretty and our very good friend Steve Silverman. So, Michael, go right ahead.
Yes, and Michael.
Absolutely.
Michael, you've got to tell me because you were there.
Yes.
Were you up there in New York Monday night?
I was there. I was actually working the red carpet for the entire second annual Indie Soap Awards. It was fantastic, Joan. And I'll share a secret with you.
Yes.
There were so many people there, daytime Emmy Award winners that I know I should have recognized. I never did watch Guiding Light. I never did watch One Life to Live. It was one of those things. And I'm meeting these icons. When I went back to do my research, I got home. It's like, I would have been freaking out had I actually known who I was interviewing. It's one of those things. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do know.
It's a fantastic
event. Funny. That's
funny.
But so it was held in Manhattan, correct?
Yeah, it was held in Manhattan on 56th and 9th, and at the Jane Wheel Dance Center. It was a fantastic event, and I got to meet lovely Mr. Steve Silverman.
I was just going to say.
Terry Simmons. Yeah.
And now this might be a perfect, appropriate time to say that Pretty, this amazing webisode created by Steve Silverman, won Best Ensemble, that would be the cast of Pretty, and Best Theme Song, which is
Gumdrop Unicorn.
And you want to know something? I am convinced, and I've had very limited exposure with Pretty because I basically did a cameo, surprise cameo at the end of their final episode of this last past season, but I believe the secret of the whole series, of the whole show, is tucked into that gorgeous little song. That song gets me. I know. Listen, the character got me. All of it. It's so amazing because I didn't know anything about Steve or anything about the show or anything, and my daughter is familiar with him because my daughter does stand-up, and Steve is all over the place writing and editing and doing all of it. He's the multi-talented Steve Silverman. And she said, Mom, she called me one day and said, somebody's going to send you an email and pitch this idea or character or whatever. Long story short, Steve sent me sort of a synopsis, told me where to hook up and watch the episodes on the internet. And I adored what Stacey McQueen, who plays Annette LaChandra Champagne, I should say, Annette LaChandra Champagne.
Yes.
Okay. So Stacey, what she had created is a character I would kill to play, and I don't think it matters what age you are, because that's a forever. I have a phrase called Lily, because I think little girls, when they're up on the stage doing a ballet recital or a piano recital or singing or doing whatever their Christmas show, they go Lily, Lily, Lily. And they twirl, they pull their skirt up over their face and their head, and they twirl, they make a circle so you see everything, you see all the equipment, everything, It's like they think they're hiding, and basically they're revealing everything. Well, I call those lilies, and to me, Stacey McQueen has created the greatest lily I've ever seen.
Yes.
And
I don't know
if I'm supposed to say, yeah, I can say because it's already been on the air, but I play Stacey down the line as the beauty queen, so to speak, or the toddler and tiara way in the year 2070 or something like that. So
right.
It's Miss Senior Beauty Queen.
Absolutely. How was the entire cast to work with? I mean, I adore Stacey McQueen. I love Sam Pancake, Michael Taylor Gray, Dee Freeman. I find this hilarious. I actually got to meet Terry Simmons in New York, too, who's just, what a beauty. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, well, she's a beauty of an actress. I mean, come on. I mean, it doesn't stop with just looking at the real estate. She's got the entire package. I'm in love with her. I'm in love with all of them. But the truth be known, my contribution was filmed out in this, I call it an old shoe factory or something. They wanted to keep it secret. I never met anyone in the cast. I never saw anything. So I have no answer to your question, what was it like working with the cast, because I've only done a couple of panels and things like that with the cast. So I've met them and hugged them and told them how much I love them that way. But I did not do one single thing, because the offer was to do basically 8 pages of dialogue, which was exposition about the past 2 seasons, which Steve would edit and put together at his, with his talent and what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it was an 8-page monologue with information I really didn't know anything about. So it was a huge, forgive me, but it was a huge challenge as an actress to sort of deliver this and play Stacey McQueen, Annette Champagne, 40, 50 years down the road. So
wow.
Yeah, so it was a challenge, and that's one of the things that appealed to me too.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
And,
so many awards Go ahead.
Something that Michael Kay and I talk about all the time, and we've had this conversation with Steve Silverman, and I'm so glad to see that that you actually did take part in that. And how pretty the series, and also other different shows that are now these webisodes are becoming very, very popular. And it's also this sort of quote unquote new area, as you will, of television. So I just thought it was cool that you were able to take part in this sort of newness of that's going on, because I think we fast forward 15 even. 20, 30 years from now, a lot of people are really going to be going to computers and looking up webisodes.
They are.
Television.
No, for sure that. And because my daughter, I said, Vanessa, what is all this about? And she said, Mom, I think it's the future. Well, it is the future. And here's the other thing. It used to be that broadcast was Broadway and cable was off-Broadway. I think now that webisodes have become the off-Broadway and cable is the Broadway.
I agree.
And it's to be determined, what broadcast is, which I love. It's amazing. But there are no, rules. But if there is an off-Broadway or an off-Broadway, that would be cable. And I think there's some brave, fantastic, Funny or Die, you name it. I think there's another one I read a couple nights ago called Trash or Trailer Trash or something. And, they're the fun, edgy, braver, not kinky by any means, but just, more fun, wink, 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 and that's the off-Broadway. So this is definitely the future, and you know what? The bottom line is, and I'm speaking as an actress, it's the part and the material, and Steve has come on a fertile field. When you take Toddlers and Tiaras as your backdrop and you put in the pageant dads, and the mom and the little competitors, that little Lily, that little girl, whoever she is, she's a little genius. And you put those elements together, and I'm hooked. I'm hooked as an audience.
Yes, yeah.
So
would you agree that I'm sorry, honey. Would you agree that I know you were talking about social media before, but with these new web series and these independent writers and directors going ahead and producing such fantastic productions and fantastic products, actually, on a shoestring budget, would you agree that it's almost more influential to have your viewing audience or your listeners or your determine whether or not the show will be successful or not? And through social media, Facebook and Twitter and stuff, that's how these small people get their following.
Oh, totally that, because that's like the guy from Nashville, bless his heart. He, if you're onto it, it's like all you have to do is see The Social Network and see the power, the potential power behind smartly using. I'm like David E. Kelly, who's an amazing writer of, you know, Boston Legal.
Yes.
He's got a new show on with Kathy Bates, and you know, he's still on a yellow legal tablet. Well, I write my speeches. I sometimes write my character notes. I'm still off a yellow legal tablet. So this is me way back in the dinosaur age or whatever. But it's my process which helps me focus and create and do what I have to do. But if you can use all the new technology in the right way, forgive me, and I know there will be listeners or viewers who will say, oh, my God. But it's how Obama got elected. God bless him. But, I mean, he had a smart team who used the new tool.
I don't think anybody, Joan, would argue with what you just said. Very much so. I completely agree with you on that. And again, all of you who are listening to the show, I'm so excited that you're here. And we've got, my goodness, Joan, we've got so many guests that are inside the chat room that's listening to you tonight. So just kudos and thank you to all of the guests. Amy is also in the chat room. Steve is in the chat room. Our wonderful producer, Marilyn Bennett, has been putting your website in. Basically, Joan, every time you say sort of a quote, Marilyn puts it inside the chat room and just kind of following you along in the conversation. So, again, I just want to thank all of them from the bottom of my heart for being here tonight. Joan, we're not going to keep you long. In fact, I think we kept you a little longer, Michael K., than what we were supposed to. So we've got a few more minutes with you. Anything that you want to talk about or say that we have not discussed yet that you've got coming up in the future we should look out for?
Okay. Well, there's one thing that did just appear. Again, it has to do with technology, and I may not have the right information on this, but I did just do a lengthy interview. There's a website called This Mother Can Run. And she contacted me somehow, and she changed the title for my segment to This Cougar Can Run. I know. And she did a really in-depth. We were on the phone during the interview, and I believe I sent her photos. I can't remember because it's been within the last month or two. But she said that she's got an amazing reaction to it because there are a lot of runners out there and a lot of physical people. And that is her own website. I think she's out of Michigan or something, but she did quite an involved, lengthy portrait, if you will. And it's on This Mother Can Run, that website.
And, you know, Joan, with that, I don't mean to cut you off, but with the advent of technology, I'm looking at you in that article right now on my computer.
Oh, you're kidding. You found it? Did you find it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, my God.
We'll go ahead and put that inside our chat room. So, Marilyn Bennett, it's actually www.thismothercanrun.com. And if you click on archives, there's a beautiful picture in the article of Joan, and you will see her there. And it was from November through December. And I'm looking at that right now. So, again, it's www.thismothercanrun, no commas or dashes, and I'll put that inside the chat room. But I'm looking at that right now, Joan.
Okay, great. Then I got it right.
Yes, you did. Yes,
okay,
you
wasn't sure. Well, all I can say in as we sort of wrap it up is that I do hope I'm back in the Washington, D.C. area. I heard a dear friend of mine we had Christmas dinner with, Rene Aubergeois, is going to be there in D.C. at the Shakespeare Theater doing, if you can believe, The Miser. And we were chatting, and I said, oh, my God, what if I did The Matchmaker? And it turns out that the director wants The Matchmaker to be a man in drag. So what Zoe Caldwell played and what I would love to play now with Rene, because he's such a brilliant actor, is now going to be played, which is a very trendy thing now. It'll be played by a man in drag, playing the kind of the Barbra Streisand matchmaker part.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you have got to keep us up to date on that, and I'm sure we now that we've kind of connected with you and your folks, when that happens, you're more than welcome to come back. Of course, Michael and Kay and I extend the invitation. Darling, this is your home. You come back whenever you want to talk about anything that you want, and we're just so excited and just thank you so much for your time.
Well, I thank you, and are you on? Do you do a show daily? Is that it?
Well, actually, we try to do shows weekly, so we're pretty much on, I would say, on a weekly basis. But Michael and I are pretty much the type, you know, we're pretty easy. If you email and call us and say, hey, we've got an idea for a show, can you get us on, then we'll go ahead and do a show. We're very easy here at Home.
Okay, well, that's great, and I will remember that, and there are things upcoming with which I will share with you in the future,
right.
And we'll do it again, but it's been my absolute pleasure, and I thank each and every one that jumped on board here, and send any support or good wishes to you all, and you'll pass it on.
Yes, thank you, Joan.
Right.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks,
I'm sorry, Michael, that I jumped on so crazy because I was trying to get 5 miles done before getting back here. And L.A. traffic is almost worse than Delaware or Washington, D.C.
I know.
Combined,
honey, you never
right?
have to apologize to me ever,
absolutely.
Ever, ever. Never, don't worry.
Okay, well,
thanks,
God bless. God bless.
Okay.
Much love. And thank you. Thank all the listeners, viewers, whatever.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Joan. Have a good
once
night.
Again. That is the one and only Joan Van Ark who joined us tonight. So make sure you check out the article that she wants you to read. Again, it is www.thismothercanrun.com. Also, she's got her own website, which I have up. I'm looking at. She's absolutely beautiful. Plus, Michael Kay, just a lot of really good information on there in terms of her charity work, what she's doing right now, information about a reunion that she did with the folks and cast from Knott's Landing. And that is www.joanvanark.com. So I'm looking forward, Michael Kay, to this upcoming series that she's going to be in on FX called Archer. So that's going to be very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I just, again, just a longtime fan of her, but just she's so down to earth and so warm and so funny. That's what Steve is telling me in New York, the fact that you're going to love to have Joan on because she's quick as a whip, smart as a tack,
yes.
and has a killer sense of humor, so and still beautiful at every age. So,
yes, absolutely.
Again, I'm kind of swooning I'm basking in the glow of Joan Van Ark. It was a great, great, great woman. I'm so happy we got to meet her.
And, you know, also, of course, what I loved about her is that you can also tell that Ms. Joan Van Ark also does her research because at the top of the show when she first came on and asked me about living in Washington, D.C. and being from D.C., she had all these great stories about her experience in D.C. And, of course, I just simply love the thought that Joan Van Ark was running on the Washington Mall around the different monuments getting her exercise in while she had her day off from the show. So that was very, very cool. It was very clear. You can tell that Joan also did her little research on us. So I love her anyway, and I'm a big fan, as many of our guests and you are, but I'm even more so impressed with her right now, Michael Kay.
Well, I was more impressed with the fact that she runs 10 to 15 miles a day. I mean, that is a long distance. I mean, I can do 7 miles in a day, and that's good. And, you know, I do that probably around 4 times a week. But 10 or 15, where is she running? You know, I mean, who's chasing her, for God's sake?
Well, she looks great. And like I said, I was just very excited to have her on. And also, again, just very excited that we had so many new listeners and guests that visit us inside the chat room tonight. So we hope that this will not be your last time. Michael Kay and I do the show pretty much weekly. We have a variety of different guests. My background is I'm a television news anchor and reporter as well as TV host. I've been in the broadcasting business for about 17 years, so I'm one of the people that sit behind the news desk and read your evening news to you. And Michael Kay, background is in the hair, fashion, and industry, but also he is my producer as well as entertainment co-host. So he produces most of the shows. His first job and second job is he generally, when we have folks in the entertainment community that he books, he'll come on sort of the second half and join in on the conversation and try to focus a lot on their career and what it is that they do. So our show, you know, we do a little bit of everything. Also, Michael can tell you we love having nonprofits on. So if you're new to our show, and doesn't matter where you live, if there's a wonderful nonprofit in your area or community organization that needs some airtime, you want to get the word out there about what it is that you're doing, you can always feel free to email me via Facebook. You can find me, Victoria Gaither, or Michael on Facebook as well, and connect with us, and, you know, we'll certainly try to make that happen. Michael, I think we do a good job of trying to get stories on the air, though, when people contact us.
Absolutely. We know a lot of fascinating people, and every guest is fascinating. So, yeah, it's a fantastic show. What a great show. I want to thank all the listeners and thank to everybody in chat, to Mara Ben for going ahead and producing a great chat room, Amy Vodder, Steve McGraw, and Barbara Dixon. Vic, what a great show. I'm thinking, well, let's play a song on the way out.
It sounds good to me. What are we going to hear to say goodbye? Who are we going to hear from?
We're going to hear from Kobe Cole, Four Women. You can go ahead and check him out on Facebook. But, Vic, thanks a lot for a great show. And once again, thanks
thank
to Joan
you.
Van Ark. But you have a great night. This is Kobe Cole, Four Women.
My head is worried, my back is strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. My skin is yellow, my hair is long, between two worlds, I do belong. My father was rich and white. He forced my mother one night. What do they call me? My name is Sephronia. My name is Sephronia. Sephronia. My hair is fine. My hips invite you. My lips like wine. Whose little girl am I? Anyone who's got money to buy. What do they call me? My name is Quickly. My name is Sweet Thing. It's Sweet Thing. They call me.